Good morning, Thunder Mountain Church. Exciting to be here. Woohoo! Well, I like to start a presentation by praising the Lord because He makes everything possible for me to be here. He's done so much in my life. I'm going to tell you, it's my favorite thing to do is praise God, and sometimes I really get going, so I have to limit myself. In fact, the other day I was driving in town, and I started praising the Lord in my car. I was driving, I'm like, God, praise you for all you're doing. And I started naming off all the things I'm thankful for. And the next thing I know, I was at my destination already. And I said, ooh, I know the people that were driving behind me are so mad because I wasn't watching my speed. But so I'm going to watch my time. Okay, God, I just want to praise you and lift you up because, Lord, you are greatly to be praised. Lord, you do so much for me, and I know I can never repay you. Lord, you are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the great I am. Lord, of all the things I've done that were so stupid, big mistakes, you kept loving me through it. You walked with me every step of the way. Lord, when I fell, you picked me back up. When I raised my hand and said, please help, you said, okay, I've got you. Lord, when I was blind and couldn't see, you helped me open my eyes and see clearly. God, I thank you that you just don't stop loving me. Father, because of you, death has no sting. Father, you are so strong. You are a warrior, and I know you fought for me. When I thought I was worthless, when I thought I was so embarrassing to my family, you said, are you kidding me? Girl, you are royalty. You are a princess. You are the daughter of the Most High King. And I realized my worth. God, I thank you for all you're doing in me, because if no one else in this world loves me, you do. And I have the perfect father. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So as I said, and as Pastor Randy mentioned, I'm the director of CareNet Pregnancy Center here in Cochise County. But I wasn't always the director. About 13 years ago, I was the client at CareNet, meaning that I came to CareNet saying, oh boy, I think I have a problem. It turns out I'm pregnant, and I was not planning for this to happen. Now, I know we usually think, ooh, okay, a person that goes to CareNet, she's about 15 or 16, she's unchurched, doesn't know the Lord, she made a big mistake, you know, we need to pray for her. Yes, you should be praying for her. But that's typically not who we see at CareNet. We see a lot of church people, and our average age is about 25 to 35, actually. And I fall into that category. I was raised in the church. In fact, my first memory is being about 4 years old, and the Sunday school bus came to my house, honked the horn. I said, oh boy, the bus is here. We would run out, me and my sisters, hop on the bus, race to the back seat, because we knew the back seat was the best seat, because that's where you felt all the bumps in the road. And when you go over the bump, you'd fly up in the air. It was so fun. And we'd sing, Jesus loves me. Yes, I know. We sing, Father Abraham had many sons. I know you guys know these songs. Come on. We'd have a great time. I loved the Lord. Loved the Lord. Of course, I still do. But I knew what the church told me. The church said, don't do it until you're married. Well, my boyfriend and I, we did it one time. We thought one time, hey, we're planning to get married. Nobody will know. And 7 weeks later, my body started to feel funny, and so we thought we'd better take a pregnancy test. And the test came back with two lines. It was positive. So we started to freak out. We're like, oh boy, what are we going to do? I don't know. What do you think we should do? I don't know. I don't know. We started running around circles. And so we came with a great idea. We just threw the test away, and we said, okay, we'll throw it away, and then the problem will just resolve itself. It'll just go away. Well, that didn't happen. So 2 weeks later, I'm still feeling all the symptoms, and we said, let's take another test, see if it's still there. We took the test, and it was still positive. So we're like, okay, what are we going to do? So my boyfriend says, you know, we better call the abortion center in Tucson. We better make an appointment. We got to fix this. Our families are going to find out. You're going to start showing. Our family's going to find out. People in church are going to know. Oh, my goodness. What if the pastor finds out? We got to fix this problem right away. Sweep it under the rug. So I call the abortion center in Tucson, and the doctor answers, and she says, look, you're sobbing on the phone. Clearly, you're very upset about this. Come now. Just drive down here. Let's take care of this, and you can move on with your life. I thought, oh boy, this is a really big decision. I don't think I better do this right away. Let's make the appointment for 2 days from now, which would have been Friday. I said, let's make the appointment in 2 days. And she said, okay. I hang up the phone. I look at the phone number underneath abortion center in the phone book. Now, if you're under age 30, you don't know what a phone book is. So I'm going to explain it. A phone book is a very thick padding of papers in a book. And it's a listing of phone numbers of individuals and businesses. So I look in this phone book. We didn't have smartphones then. And I see the ad for CareNet Pregnancy Crisis Center. And it was under abortion alternatives. And the ad said, think you might be pregnant? Do you want to talk? Give us a call. That's all it said. Do I want to talk? Yes, I do. That's exactly what I want to do. I want someone to talk to. So I called, and they said, come on over, have a seat, we'll talk. I called CareNet, they took my call, I went over there, talked to people, this is what they did. We confirmed the test was positive. We talked about the consequences of abortion, because I had my appointment. They said, this is what's going to happen. There are physical consequences, there are emotional consequences, and there are spiritual consequences. Let's talk about that. They talked about the development of my 9-week-old baby at the time. Turns out all the organs were formed. She had fingers, toes, eyes. Everything was formed. All she needed to do was sit in my tummy and get fatter. That's all. And we talked and talked and talked about my fears and concerns. And they showed me love. They did not judge me at all. And they supported me and encouraged me. And that was exactly what I was looking for. They told me I could do it. They told me I could be a parent. Yeah, sure you can. Why do you think you can't? What's wrong? They gave me that encouragement. That was exactly what I needed. I left that place knowing that I was going to be a mom. Complete change of events. When I went there, I was going through a crisis. This is the reason I believed I had to have this abortion. I absolutely had to get it. A pregnancy crisis is absolutely devastating to the woman. When a woman goes through a crisis, or any crisis for any person, really, but specifically a pregnancy crisis, she is unable to rationalize any thoughts. She cannot think rationally. She cannot organize her thoughts. She's unable to organize. And she's working against the clock. She is completely convinced that she has to make the decision right away and right now. That's a really tough place to be in. Okay? Another thing that was happening to me is that I was going through spiritual warfare. The enemy was using this as an opportunity to attack me. He says, ooh, boy, look at her. She's stressed out right now. Let's see what we can do. The whole 2 weeks, from the minute I found out I was pregnant, I was hearing these negative thoughts, just being blasted with thoughts. I remember, just like yesterday, feelings of shame, guilt, despair. I was being told that I wasn't good enough, I'd never be a good parent. I was completely convinced my child would grow up and be on Dr. Phil, saying, she's a horrible parent, look what she did in my life. You can't do this, you don't know how to be a mom, you don't know how to do this. I was completely convinced that I would be the biggest disappointment to my parents and my family. That was my biggest fear. You're going to disappoint everybody. What is your pastor going to say when you tell him? Oh, my goodness. Everybody at church is going to talk about you. When they see your belly out to here, everybody's going to whisper and talk about you. Your family will disown you. They'll never talk to you again. These are the thoughts that were going through my head. You're unmarried. What are they going to say? They're going to know what you guys did. The secret's going to come out. Shame, guilt, fear. Horrible thoughts. When I went to CareNet, though, God intervened. He was that warrior we were singing about. The warrior claimed a victory on my behalf because God loves me like that, right? And he said, wait a minute. Let's talk about this. Break those chains. And at CareNet, they said, okay, one of your worries is, how are you going to make this happen financially? We have parenting classes. And when you take these classes, we're going to teach you how to be the great parent so your child's not on Dr. Phil's show, okay? We're going to teach you the tools of how you can take care of your baby and raise a wonderful child. So I did. I took the parenting classes, learned a whole lot. I had no idea what to do. By going to these classes, you earn mommy money. You spend it in our baby boutique store, stocked full of diapers, wipes, formula, baby clothing, strollers, bassinets, everything I need to help me out financially. I had all of those things available to me. And by the way, that baby store, Thunder Mountain Church, helps to supply that store. You guys help keep it stocked, so thank you for that. So all of our moms come, and they are able to get those supplies whenever they need them. Big help when you're afraid of, babies cost too much, how am I going to afford this? Another concern I had was going to college. I have plans to go to college. Now how am I going to do this? There's online college. There's family housing at schools now. There are so many options. Yes, you can still fulfill that goal for yourself. I said, well, am I going to run out of time? What we know about abortions now is they keep setting the date back as far as how long you have to get an abortion. This is not a praise, it's not a wonderful thing, but we use that tool to tell our clients, you do have time to make this decision. You don't have to rush. Unfortunately, you can go to Phoenix and get an abortion up to 20 weeks pregnant. So they do have time to wait and think about it. Come back, see us for an ultrasound, have a look at the baby, we can date the baby, we can go from there. Many, many times they see the baby, they fall in love with this baby. They hear the heartbeat, they see the baby moving around in the uterus, they fall in love. We use these tools to help them get through this crisis. We have a dry erase board. We say, let's go over the pros and cons of adoption. What if you chose adoption with this pregnancy? And we discuss that. Let's go over the pros and cons of choosing to parent this baby. We go over those options. This is helping them to organize their thoughts. These are the processes we go through. And this is what CareNet did with me when I went. When I left there, I felt all of my anxiety just fall away. I felt sure that I could do this, that I could be a mom. I was like, yeah, I think I can do this. I can do this. And I left there being a mother. And several months later, I gave birth to my beautiful Isabella Rose. She's my little princess. See her there? A great blessing to me. That's when she was 2. Now she's almost 12 now. She's sitting in the front row. My baby. She's my assistant now. She doesn't really have a choice. She's my assistant. She goes everywhere I go. And she is truly a gift and a blessing to me. She really is. Children, and if you have some, I know you already know this, children force you to raise the bar. They make you raise your expectations for yourself. And she really does make me be the best me I can be. I'm so grateful to God for her. I really am. So let's talk about what we, the church, will do when somebody tells us, oh, I think I might be pregnant. I thought I saw 2 lines on that test. And I did not plan for this to happen. How are we going to respond when that happens? Because I'll tell you what happened when I told my family and the people in my social circle. I told my family, and Satan is a liar, because my family was 100% supportive. They loved me through it. They said, well, you know what? We're going to make a way through this. We'll just get through it. We'll find a way. That's how they responded. And I thought, well, wow, that wasn't what I thought was going to happen. But they loved me through it. I told my pastor in my church, many of my church family members were great. They're very supportive. I still meet up with them all the time. We have play dates with our children all the time. Some of my church family was not supportive, and they were judgmental. And when my tummy got all the way out to here, when I was ready to deliver, they were whispering back and forth and saying, she's not married. How did that happen? Oh, boy. Guess she didn't hear the sermon right. There was all kinds of confrontation going on. We had to have talks after church and things like that. It was not good. It was not pretty. It was very judgmental. And I was very hurt by some of the discussions. So that's one of the reasons we're having one of these topics today. Because we want to be the church that doesn't treat our women and couples that way when they come to us and say, ooh, I think I might be pregnant. We want to come to them from a place of love and grace. We've been given that grace. We want to show them the same thing. So how do we respond? Well, first and foremost, that first initial reaction, that engagement with that young lady is important. We need to make sure that we do not respond negatively. It needs to come from a place of love. Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5 says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Keep that in the back of your head. Remember that grace. Come to her from that perspective. Now, it's easy to say when it's your neighbor that says, hey, you know, I found out I was pregnant. It was not what I expected. And you're like, oh, wow, how can I help you through this? That's a little easier. But when it's your 16-year-old daughter, and it's this yahoo down the street that you weren't planning on any of this happening, you had no idea, it's a little different when you have to respond to that. I get it. We're human. We have this flesh. Makes us react angry or frustrated. Take a minute, walk away, take a walk, take a drive, whatever you need to do to gather yourself and release some steam. Because of course you're going to be upset. That's a natural reaction. But you don't want to act out in anger with her. Calm down. Think about how you want to respond first and then go back and talk to her. It's okay to step away. And then you talk to her. Also, you want to make sure that when you talk to her, you have a life-affirming response. Psalms 139:13-14. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We know that God values life. He creates all life. Every one of us is a personal creation and unique and special to him. And purposeful. He doesn't, accidentally created that baby. Every one of us has special meaning to him. So when we're helping her through this, we want a life-affirming response. Maybe she's not ready to be a parent right now. Maybe she's young and she's like, you know, I'm just not ready for this. Maybe you could suggest adoption. There are a lot of adoptions that have been great for people. A great response, a great choice. We've helped facilitate a lot of adoptions with other adoption agencies in town, and the results have been amazing for both parties. Another thing we can do is offer help. Basically, offer a referral. First off, how can I help you? A simple response like that. Is there something I can do for you? How do you need my help? What can I do for you? Just asking how you can help does a lot. Suggest a community referral. CareNet. We're the go-to place. We are a para-ministry, which means we come alongside churches in this community. That's what we're here for. That's exactly what we do. We aid the churches. We want to help with pro-life issues. Any pregnancy issue, that's what we're here for. if she says she's pregnant and she doesn't know what she's going to do, and you're like, wow, this is kind of out of my realm. Like, I don't even know what to do with this. But I know a place that does. Carina on Fry Boulevard. 459-LOVE. That's the phone number. You should, let's call. Let's call, or you can just go there. I can take you there. Let us handle it. Get her to us. We'll take it from there. We're happy to help. Suggest that she talk to a pastor. Some people are more comfortable talking to their pastor about issues. I talk to my pastor all the time. I go to my pastor about things. She may be more comfortable doing that. Say, hey, let's go to Pastor Randy. Do you want to go talk to him? Sure. Recommend a close family member. Maybe she's not ready to tell mom and dad because that's a tough one. But maybe she's more comfortable talking to an older brother or sister or a cousin or aunt or uncle. That might be easier for her. Maybe what you could do is offer to role play with her. You say, hey, let's act like I'm mom or I'm dad, and you practice telling me, you know, hey, I'm pregnant. Just act like I'm your mom or dad. That helps a lot. Okay. One of the things that we want to see change in the culture right now, we want to stop women from feeling like they have to choose abortion, that that's their only option. We know that this is a spiritual warfare issue. We know this, right? We want to stop this idea from happening. And the way we stop it is by reaching out of our comfort zone and being that person that offers help when we see it happening. We need to stop being the culture that says, I thought I overheard two people talking about a pregnancy and the girl was considering abortion, but I need to stay in my own lane. That's a them problem, not a me problem. It's not my business, so I'm gonna just keep going. More and more, our society is becoming that way. We need to care about our brothers and sisters. If I overhear two people talking and they say, oh man, I just found out I'm pregnant, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to have to get this abortion because I don't know how to tell my parents. This is just too much right now. I'm in college. I got to finish college. And the girl goes, oh, man, do you need help? Do you need me to drive you? Maybe you overhear this conversation. Look, it's okay to step up and say, hey, guys, I overheard you mentioning that, you know, you had a surprise pregnancy and it isn't a good time. This lady came to our church and talked about a place called CareNet that will help with that. Maybe you guys should try them out and see if they can help. Just a simple recommendation. And if they will follow through, we'll help out from there. It's okay to just give a little tug, stick your neck out a little bit and say something. Because more and more we're getting so individualistic that we just want to stay in our own lane and not offer help. But we have to reach out. We have to. People are suffering because nobody wants to say, can I help? Can I help? CareNet National Office does some studies from time to time. And they do this because they want our pregnancy crisis centers to be the best that we can be. And one of the things they do is they do phone interviews with women that have been affected by abortion. They've had abortions in their past. And they want to know, why did you choose abortion? How was it for you? Like, what are the after effects? So that we can stop women from choosing abortion, okay? And what we know is, one out of every four women by age 45 will have chosen an abortion. One out of every four. So 25% of the population of women by age 45 will have chosen to have had an abortion. And some women will have more than one. We know that. Okay? 85% of post-abortive women interviewed said if they would have had someone to talk to, they would have chosen differently. 85%. They would have made a different choice. That is a large number, guys. 85%. Simply, if someone would have said, can I help? Is there something I can do to help? That's all. That would have opened up a conversation And they would have said, oh, I really need someone to talk to about this. I don't know if I'm doing the right thing. How do I know this number is true? I'm going to tell you how. Because I've been here at Thunder Mountain since yesterday, and I've already had a response since I've been here, since Saturday, from a few people that have stopped me and said, I'm one of those 85% of people. If someone would have talked to me, I know my outcome would have been different. Just here. And it happens everywhere I go when I speak to people. This is a valid piece of data. The reason I bring this up is because we can make a difference. If we hear someone say to us, oh my gosh, you know, this happened and I think I might need to go to a Tucson, or if we overhear a conversation, step out of your comfort zone and say, can I be help to you? Is there something I can do? Can I suggest a place you can go? We can prevent this from happening. We really want to see those numbers go down. 1 out of every 4. I want to talk about what happens after the abortion. Now, years ago, Planned Parenthood was telling us, oh, no, no, no. What happens is she goes in and has the abortion. She leaves. Everything's fine. She can go get dinner, go shopping at the mall, whatever she wants. She's fine. That is not true. When a woman goes through this procedure, there are going to be after effects. And I'm not talking about just physical, emotional after effects. The American Psychological Association has now identified, okay, yeah, we're going to tell you that this is a true thing. It's called PASS, post-abortion stress syndrome, and it's a form of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And the symptoms may include feelings of guilt, despair, shame, worthlessness, self-hatred, anxiety, depression, flashbacks, and in extreme cases, suicidal thoughts. Now look at that list of symptoms and tell me, do you recognize any of those symptoms from what I was talking about, that I was feeling when I was going through my decision making, when I was thinking about abortion? That is a sign of spiritual warfare. It's an attack. And Satan says, she chose abortion, and now I'm going to attach myself to this woman and put her in bondage and cause her great pain and havoc for years. That's what that is. But what we know is God does not want us to live in that pain. She deserves so much better than that. God wants us to experience love, not pain. Hope, right? So how can the church be a place that offers a place of grace? So when she steps to you and says, hey, I got to tell you a secret, and it's something I've hid in my hiding place, my little place that I store all my secrets. It's a big secret, and I'm really afraid of telling anybody because I don't want to be judged, but I need to tell someone. So she confides in you that she has had an abortion in her past. How do we respond to that? What are we going to do? We need to listen with empathy. Maybe you haven't had an abortion. Many of us haven't, but we can kind of guess at how horrible it feels and the pain she's going through afterwards. We can imagine that. We can express empathy. We can talk with a compassionate heart. We can say, I am so sorry that you're going through that pain. I can only imagine what you're feeling. We can pray with them. That's important. Pray with them. Pray for them, because we know they're under a spiritual attack. Pray for them. Refer them to other people that may be able to help. At CareNet, we offer a post-abortive support group. It's a group of women that get together and go through a Bible study. And these are all women that have been through an abortion in their past. Some have had one, some have had 5. And they help each other heal. Now, maybe you're a person that says, I've had an abortion, and I know what Tina's talking about. I agree. It's horrible pain. But I did pray to God about that. And I confess my sin, and I know I've been forgiven, because God says that I can be forgiven. Yes, that is a fact. That is true. But have you been experiencing the pain still? Do you still get those thoughts, that shame, that guilt? Are you still experiencing that? Because maybe you've been forgiven, but you have not been set free. There's a difference. Maybe you're still in bondage. And if you are experiencing that, we need to get you past that and work on that. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." That's that hope word. God is a fighter and a warrior for you. Do not let another week go by suffering in that pain and bondage. If that's you today, or if you know somebody that is living with that in their lives, please, please, please seek me out, seek your pastor out, seek somebody out for professional help. Work through this. Please don't just keep suffering through it. Don't keep it your secret any longer. You can stop at my table in the lobby or CareNet table. Just simply grab a business card so that we can get in contact later. Everything we do at CareNet is confidential, 100% confidential. If I see you in our office and I walk across the street to Wendy's and see you there, I'll walk right by you. Nobody will know that you're coming to us for services. We just want to make sure that you are healed. Also, I want to mention this. Today, if you've been sitting through this service and you feel like the Lord is telling you, hey, this might be something for you to be involved in, this ministry sounds great. Maybe you are being called to help women and couples who are being affected by abortion. Maybe this is your calling. You feel like, yeah, I want to be doing this. I want to be involved in this. You can also see me at the table today. I have a volunteer sign-up sheet. I would love to get your contact information on that sheet, and I will contact you sometime this week, and we'll set up a time that we can get you trained, and we'll have you shadow a little bit. We won't just put you right out there and say, go help this person. We're going to get you well-trained, and we'd love to have you on our team. We always need volunteers, so we'd love to have you help out at CareNet. Thank you so, so much for listening to my testimony today. And for being great listeners, I appreciate it. I hope you're feeling more equipped with tools to help somebody if they ever came to you with an unplanned pregnancy. And now, I'm going to ask if you'll pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that we can have these discussions, Lord, that you give us a platform for this, God. Lord, we know that you are the creator of life. We thank you, Father, that you trust us with these little ones, Lord. Thank you, God, for that. God, we think about the women today that are going to take that first pregnancy test, that are going through that crisis. Lord, please, please strengthen them, Lord, as they make these important decisions. Lord, we think about the men that, and we rarely say this, Lord, but we think about the men that are affected by abortion, too. The men that don't want the women to abort and the women choose abortion, Lord, heal their pain. We see that in our center too. And Father, we think about the women that have had abortions in their past that are hurting, just going through that day-to-day pain, and they feel like they can't release the secret. God, will you just press it upon their heart to seek us out, Lord? Press it upon them to tell somebody that secret, Lord, so that they can begin the healing process, God. We know you are a father of love, a God that just wants to share that perfect love with them, Lord. And you want their whole heart, Lord. God, we just raise up all glory to you, Lord. We love you and we adore you, Father, and we just thank you for Jesus. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Thank you.